Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to it's July 30th, beautiful Wednesday down here in the Woodlands, Texas. Here, as always, with my trusty AI collaborator who needs to unmute himself before he talks, Nico Lefakis.
We'll get there. Thank you. Thank you so much, Chris. Yeah, it's another great day in the world of AI. It is hot as hell over here in Ohio, and definitely feel bad for my former Floridians who, baking like clams today. And but can't say I didn't warn you. I left for good reason. So there's that. There's Meta. A lot of people what was he doing with the $15 billion? He's building a new data center the size of Manhattan. The whole island. That's how big the new data center is going to be. I think he's calling it Prometheus, right?
I mean, it's got to have a name.
I mean, but it makes so much sense, right? Like, this might be the one that is like the end. Now, it'll still be behind, right? Because OpenAI is still chugging ahead on Stargate. But yeah, it's pretty nuts. Outside of that, I think the average employee now that's on his AI team, I think the lowest salary is 10 million. The average salary is 100 million. So that's when we were talking about like abundance and like, that's crazy. I was just reading it. My brother sent me this other report yesterday about, there's a hundred, this year so far is like 190 new millionaires. And I was like, well, that's weird. We're tracking behind. It was like, that doesn't make any sense. I'm like, last year we had almost 600 million. Or like 600,000. I'm sorry, it was 190,000. Yeah, we had almost 600,000 people become millionaires last year. And why? Well, I don't know. Practically every stock surrounding AI has seen well over 100% growth. I have some that they just hover around 750% increase. Like the average stock I'm in is, I'm not even, if I averaged it out, about 600% from where I first invested. Now, I'm not a millionaire, right? I'm not that type of person. When I go to Vegas, I take out $100 and we'll see what happens. That's just the way I am. I know a lot of people are like, what? I'm sure even my wife.
Interesting dynamic for sure.
That's the whole thing of abundance, right? Like everything being equal and openly accessible. And it just, may not seem like it, but all of that, we talk about trickle down economics. Like this is actually what it looks like. It looks like people who were barely getting paid 150, maybe 200K, now getting paid close to 200 million. And then all of that money's got to flow because they got to spend it. And those kind of people, like, not for nothing, but like even myself, you give me that kind of money, I don't know what to do with it. So I'm going to have to spend it on other stuff that's way more useful than whatever the hell it would be doing in my bank. Like, I don't know, the richest woman in the world who just developed a new AI-centric medical facility. Right. Almost as big as the average data center, but
oh man,
but we'll get there. We'll get there with the equations.
So medical facilities instead of yachts. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, go figure.
There are some people that do good things.
There's a few of them out there.
It's pretty easy to watch the ones that's like have figured out. And this is me assuming positive intent in most cases, because I don't find a lot of value in doing otherwise. But like once you understand the system and the game you have to play, Like, if you want to help as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, you need a lot of money. Right. And, so like, say what you will about whatever philanthropist is on the news at the moment, like whatever the approach is, I think in most cases, they've decided that that is the way. Like, mm-hmm. they want to have impact, they want to have influence, and they need a lot of money, like, to do it, right? So it's going to be interesting to see that shift. And again, like, democratization and abundance means you won't necessarily, you know, need that very soon. Soon is going to be interesting to see, but
I don't know. The timetable, in my opinion, just got moved up, elsewhere in the world. While America, unfortunately, through its unfortunate leadership, has decided to stake its claim as being, you know, first and the best, and that we're going to win in terms of this AI Cold War. The other side of that, you have China, who is right on our heels. Right on our heels. Oh, yeah, and Jensen's now allowed to sell them higher-grade chips. So they're right on our heels, and they say, hey, how about the rest of the world? How about we all band together and work on this problem? And what was the reason? So we see our leadership, and our leadership's reasoning is, essentially, like, we want to be the best. And from what I hear from, you know, frontline, we want to have control over it more so than anybody else. Fear is bad actors. Okay, not entirely sure, right? I could totally understand that with, not for nothing, I could totally understand that with, like, some, you know, nation, like some nations of Islam, right? Like, I could see that. Could totally understand that with terrorist stuff. But I don't see it with China, right? Like, I'm just not seeing this, like, global domination thing, right? Now, maybe it's coming out of left field, whatever it might be. But what's crazy is that this open source method has caught up to us within, like, a year. So, like, in 1 year, they've done, what, 2.5 years of research we've been doing in terms of building models. Now they're going to pull in the resources of the rest of the world and share what they know with the rest of the world, which makes it a much greater pool to pull from, right? And at the same time, and that's because we're basically, like, sniping out their talent. No joke. We are paying, I don't know if you guys knew, there is such a thing as an O-1 visa. So we're not just paying, I'm not joking, we're not just paying people overseas $100 million salaries. We're also giving them insta-citizenship. H-1B, you can work here, but, you know, after work's done, who knows? O-1 is like, hey, welcome. Come on in. Right? That's how far we're willing to go to get our talent. Now China's got the rest of the world in terms of their talent pool. So, yeah, the acceleration is going to happen. Thankfully, the reason that they are doing it is because of safety. They feel that they need to be doing it on a global scale because all eyes need to be on how far this thing can get, what it can do. And I say it because we're getting close to, like, one of them, one of the foundation models being at that level, if not already, and just in a closed system, more than likely. And that's what I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be in closed system for quite some time before we see it. And I mean, like, we might get model drops. We'll probably get 5, and it's going to be 5 for a bit. So I think we're going to see this, like, slowdown in the arc. And that's going to be because, I mean, Sam's always talked about 7 as being, like, the one, right? And we're 2 iterations away. We went from 4 to, like, 04, well, 4 to 03 to 04, pretty quickly, and now we're on 5. So 6 should, theoretically, if we were going to see it, should be right around November, right? Maybe even before. Definitely by December. I can guarantee you we're not going to see it until like mid next year, maybe.
Well, I think
maybe early next year, but probably mid next year.
Any gaps are going to come from like this space of like figuring out true public adoption and all the feedback. And that's going to relate to all the physical robots shipping and, you know, Alexa being in homes and whatever device OpenAI like delivers. It's going to be an entirely new layer of like feedback and training for all these AI systems. And it's going to take a minute, maybe literally, but we'll see, for them to like bring that in with a new variable of like physical interaction in all the ways, in a way that doesn't like completely map over like the digital space that we all interact in like as well. Maybe that's easy, you know, maybe that needs to take time, probably not as much as we think it does, but this, because I'm assuming what you mean by that the arc slowdown is gets the intelligence like factor, like benchmark testing and all that stuff.
I just mean the release of models, right? Okay. I think the intelligence is definitely, I mean, I think 5 represents the closest to vertical we're going to get. And I'm really sure that whatever they have behind closed doors is definitely, I mean, Google's got a self-learning model specifically tuned for medical, but they're going to have it for science. Guys, you have to try to understand that we have compressed in 2 years, the like 100 years or so worth of electronic just technologies, right? So 100 years of computer science, right? We've managed to smash that in like 2, right? Everything that we pretty much thought we knew about, all that stuff, just smashed right through it, right? All the theory, like we smashed Moore's law, like just, again, we just smashed it. Okay. Once we get fully like recursive systems working and like, and pushing forward, you're going to see changes that like, really, it's not even like, oh, going to blow your mind. They're going to be stuff that it's going to be hard to even like fathom that it was possible, right? Or that you're even, that it's even doing what it does. And yeah, I think that's when it's like, hey, let's hold back a little bit from like public release. Like, I don't know that, you know.
Well, as we talk about
bad actor issues, basically,
it's almost like the next models, and this makes sense, right? Like the intelligence is almost at the vertical, and it's as intelligent as any human needs it to be. And it just doesn't have access to all the context usually. But the next models probably relate more so to like the collaborative interface, like required, right? So the next like iteration of the device, right, is a change from just, you know, pulling up GPT on your computer or phone. But then, you know, the people working on stuff like Neuralink, like that level of interface. So I could easily see that being like 6 and 7 with like minor tweaks to that new interface, but it's like making it easier and easier for humans and AI to work together. Because that's it right now, like lack of time and, you know, lack of ability to click on all the things, and set up all the projects and connect all the data and the systems. That's what's in the way. Like usually once I get to that part, like value happens like every time. Like it's just a matter of the setup and the usage is still software based. And it's like, it's clunky. Like it's just, it's not natural. That's why it had to be invented and developed over the past 30 years. And we still don't have great adoption rates, right? Like, all right, good try, SaaS. Like, thank you for setting the foundation for AI. But we're moving on now.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's been like the talk lately, is that interface is changing. The way you interact is changing. Comet is a really great example of that. So you have like Comet release, you have OpenAI discussing building a browser. You have Apple desperately trying to build something into Safari. Opera announces its new browser release, and Microsoft actually bites the bullet and makes Copilot available for free on Edge. So everybody has to compete. Oh, and I mean, here's the fun part. Gemini's been on Chrome for a minute. Not in the same way as everybody else, but the Gemini assistant was actually there, at least on my browser, about a week after launch. It still doesn't do half the shit that they said it was going to do by this point in the year. So again, while I love Google, but the point is, like, it's all getting there faster. You're interacting with everything differently. And to that point, we've got the release yesterday. Big news. Big news from Dharmesh. Now, it's not just deep researching with your HubSpot instance. It's not just MCPing to your HubSpot instance, because that was a little difficult. That wasn't for everybody. Now it's just a straight connector. So just like you added your Gmail, just like you added your calendar, just like you added Stripe, all of those connectors, now you just click connect. Public app connects to your portal, and now you just talk to your data.
Yeah. And this is where the interfacing comes in. Like, in the different systems between ChatGPT and Claude, Claude invented MCP, or Anthropic created MCP. So that has been going a lot smoother to be able to set that up. But it's restricted to Claude desktop application, right? They've started coming out with connectors that some are for web app, some are for a desktop only. And so I've been accessing HubSpot through the desktop app, which meant I couldn't do it on my phone, right? Now the connector's here and I've got it on my phone now, right? I don't have all the APIs. I don't have the same scope. Like, the scope is different, but again, it's baby steps.
Right.
Right. As they release these new, basically into this new wild, it's just like the mobile app, like figuring out how people are going to use it. And it's just a different experience. Like, you don't just open up the masses so that people are just constantly like accessing the deepest recesses of your HubSpot portal.
Right.
It's a lot easier to lose a phone than it is like a desktop computer. So I'm sure there's lots of reasons that they start out this way. And then GPT on the other side. So you have this convergence, because the first connector for GPT was deep research only. Mm-hmm. And then this week, it's like, okay, now it doesn't have to be deep research. You can just ask it for the regular stuff too, right? In the same week. And that's this convergence that we're talking about, like making it easier and easier. But guess what? The data still needs to be in HubSpot. Like, if it's in spreadsheets, which, by the way, HubSpot's making it a lot easier to just bring in the spreadsheet, like without even structuring any of the data, like inside of HubSpot. Like Ops Hub, they are creating the space where it's like literally just connect it with, like, however you can. Just let this system see it so that you can leverage AI.
You know, I gotta ask you a question.
Sure.
Because you're in the material science business. Not that this is like direct. Well, it is. It's not directly relative, but it's the same thing, in which, you know, they're selling parts to to various companies, right? And what I heard that I could not believe, this was on a client call. I could not believe, man. Like, it took me a minute. They have two sales reps who happen to be their best sales reps. But these two people, I guess they're like 70. I don't know. Something, right?
Sounds accurate.
I think they come from like Glenn. They just come straight from Glengarry Glen Ross. they carry LegalPad and they just write it all down. Yeah. I about lost it. I was just like, that doesn't even compute in my head. Like, how are you getting that into the CRM? And there's, you know, nothing, no, like, and it's, and the stubbornness that was surrounding it, because I was like, well, okay, fine. You want to do it that way. Why don't we just create a templated sheet that you guys just print out? They'll fill it out. It's still, they write in it. They just have to write in boxes. And it's, so long as they write in the boxes, we can OCR that shit and pull it right into HubSpot, right? No, they don't want to do that either.
Yeah. Welcome to my world, bro.
You know what my suggestion is, though? And here's the one where, like, this is where it is. This is where you're going to see this happening. These are the cases where you're going to see this happening. Replace them. Find new people. Take the hit. Hire somebody new. Take the hit to hire a new salesperson. Groom them until they get to the same level of MRR, or whatever it is you're after. And then knock out one of the old guys.
Yeah.
Right? And if the next old guy doesn't shape up, start hire another sales guy, and I'll bet you the fire lights right under their ass, right? Well, let me see your pieces of which is the form I gotta fill out. Keyboard, which is keyboard? I don't even know. It's time to shape up, man.
You're a little cute right now. It's where most of my value first efforts come from, that specific problem. Mm-hmm. Because that industry, since 2011, they've been staring in the face an aging workforce with no clue on how to like backfill, right? Even to the point of last year, like, so 2011, 2024, they've done nothing
right
to try and solve for it. Because they really haven't been forced to. And that's what it has taught me is those people, they're so good. Like, the CRM is in their head. They've never been asked, like, really to put it anywhere else because they get the job done.
Right.
It ends when you try to scale beyond them or when you try to create transition plans, right? Leaders aren't good at that part. So they make it feel like replacement, which makes me less likely to put stuff in the CRM, right? And it's not like the switch has nothing to do with data entry and process and everything to like aligning with what people want to achieve, right? Which is not dissimilar from what we're talking about like every day here. Like the choice to either see AI as a replacement or as a collaborative partner is a massive difference, but it doesn't take that long to get somebody there once they try it and feel it, right? Mm-hmm. Because some of my favorite comments after like pushing through this are like, man, this new guy, he's picking it up quick. It's like, yeah, because he doesn't have to do ride-alongs for 6 months because all the data is in your head and all the process is in your head, right? And what I found is this is where like the ROI conversation around CRM is awful in terms of like, they don't want to save time. They will do as many clicks, calls, miles, if they know what the results are going to be. They will go through an immense amount of pain if they know their process works. And they hit their numbers and often exceed their numbers.
But okay, here's right? where the difference comes in, though. These guys are, right? They are like, it is sort of that case of like what they're doing works and they're hitting the right numbers. So, like, what's the point and all that kind of stuff? The problem is they don't want to change what they do, right? They don't see the value in doing it. So, the reason I'm saying it is not like, Yeah, you were right to stop me there because it's not wholesale. Okay. This case in particular, the reason I said that was because they know it's better And if they did it, it would benefit the entirety of the team, the rest of the team. And maybe that's what it is. The rest of the team would be able to glean the information and be able to understand, hey, this is how I should be doing things. Maybe this. So all of a sudden, the entire organization starts making more money.
Yes, that is what I found to be a better motivator, is help your neighbor. Like the people that you want to be doing these things better. That's where you start to align it with language in a way that's not, you know, attacking them, which is very easy to do. And that's where every admin I've ever seen is like, why can't you just put the data in CRM? So easy, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, look at the rest of CRM. Like, give me a reason. Like, show me how that's going to help me. And if you can, in that moment, say, well, this person that you get mad about taking so long to do the quotes for you, now they can do it faster and without errors that you have to fix every time, right? If you can't connect it in those very contextual, like we talked with Clemen yesterday about the importance of respecting context and timing is more important than it's ever been because everything is moving so fast. And if you don't catch it in that moment, like he's got another call to go to, another event to be at, another quote to do, another email to respond to, right? And if you can't help him in that moment, this is where things like Super come into play. Like everything needs to be contextual at all times. And when you can't be, I'm relying on my brain because it is contextual when I need it to be, like in that moment, it obviously doesn't scale and it creates consistency issues. But in those organizations, another way they get around it is these roles are often full funnel account managers. So there's a lot less handoffs and they own the relationship. So there's a lot less like, you know, misalignment in the message that the customer gets. That also makes these roles super protective of anybody messing or talking to that customer ever, right? And it is a paradigm shift that now even that stuff is not working because you can't be present all the time, like in this world that we're living in right now, even the traditional industries. But the last thing I hit on, like what I found in recent years is like government regulation and standardization and stuff like that, those kinds of organizations move at 2 and 3 year intervals. So there's literally, you're disincentivized to move faster than that because the products you create do not comply with the current standard or method. And you got to do a shit ton of work to make it comply, even if it's the best thing since sliced bread and helps everybody and like is lower cost and everything makes sense. You gotta go through committees and the next meeting is in 6 months. So we'll see you there. And it's not designed for this world, right? This is at the heart of Value First and why I took this approach of like, we've got to find ways to help leaders, like find the path out of this infrastructure that cannot, you know, persist. They feel it every day. They just have no idea how to get around sales comp structures, right? Even though the salesperson will tell you, this thing doesn't make sense. We need a guy for this. We need a girl for this. I'm having to do everything digital now. Why is my region? Why do I have a region? Like, everybody feels the friction.
Yeah. Right?
In AI, that's where if you don't move, AI is going to solve it for you. And if you're not a part of that, it's more likely that you're not going to enjoy the benefits. But my favorite thing in the last month that I've discovered is those notes, especially with what we're seeing with HubSpot, unstructured data and the ability to check, look at files and summarize them, look at PDF files.
Mm-hmm.
You can start bringing those. You can just start taking pictures of those notes that they like to write and bring them into the CRM. And it will be useful, like in the CRM. It won't be buried as an attachment in a list. Breeze can now access that stuff. And that's where I've moved from, you know, if you haven't digitally transformed yet, good luck, to everybody literally has an opportunity to skip it. Like, just skip over all the challenges that you've had and just let AI bring you up to speed like overnight. But the mindset has to be there.
Like, that's the important part, is like being able to actually change the way that you think, change the process. And I'm just saying that, right? What's crazy is that, like, this is the first time ever, in my opinion, that it's too easy, right? Like, if you saw Clemens post this morning on LinkedIn, like, that was a perfect example, right? He'd waited around, and it's not like, on doing anything with like agents and getting like too deep in that. Like, yeah, he was using GPT, but like not that big a deal. And so all of a sudden, what was it, yesterday? He takes time and he builds out his first agent. And it took him 5 minutes. And he was completely blown away. And now he's got this bug where he's just going to start building agents and doing all sorts of crazy shit. After 5 minutes of just messing around in something he didn't know how to do in the first place. Like, I don't know how many times we have to tell you guys that, like, it is the easiest thing you will ever have to learn in your entire life, because it's actually the funnest thing. I have never in my life had so much fun learning a new platform, a new way of doing things, a new way of working with computers. Never. Like, it's so awesome. Anytime I want to, I can just talk to it and tell it to do something. I can just set it, you know, tell my agent, I need you to start doing this every day. I can just build out software that I, you know, oh, I have this problem that, you know, I can't connect these two things. All right, well, let me just go vibe code a piece of software and give me the API keys and boom, it's done. Integrations are done. Like, it's just, even if you didn't know how to do an integration, you can do one now. If you didn't know how to host an integration to connect two pieces of software, you do now. And it's super easy. Like, it would floor you how easy some of this stuff is. Not going to lie, a lot of the more difficult stuff is actually difficult. But for the majority of what most people want to do, which is either build bridges between software, build something to save them time doing stuff. Like, internally, we had, oh my gosh, I didn't even see. We're way over on time. Sorry. But yes, just get into it.
We'll wrap there. And if you want more info about what your job might look like if AI is doing all this stuff, I just made a post about the problem with the word admin and consultant, and nobody knows what that does. I created some articles around architects, coaches, and educators. There is a place for you. It's just not building and fixing stuff anymore, folks. So we'll be here tomorrow to help you continue helping you on that journey and hopefully bring you over and have some fun with us. Until next time, have a great day, everybody. Thanks, Nico.
See you guys.